How to fix the global economy. Would you believe they don't agree?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Healing the global economy is the topic in London today as finance officials from the G20 group of nations assemble. Joining us live is Andrew Hilton, director of the Center for the Study of Financial Innovation in London. Good to talk with you again, Andrew.
Good to be there.
What is this thorny issue that some European countries are pushing today about how much bankers deserve to get paid?
Do you know, I don't think bankers are very popular on either side of the Atlantic,
no.
And they certainly aren't popular in Europe. In continental Europe, this is all considered a kind of Anglo-Saxon plot to enrich bankers at the expense of the real economy. So there's going to be a lot of political grandstanding and there'll be a lot of talk about bonuses, but it's very hard to see really what they can do.
Our Treasury Secretary doesn't seem to like that idea of tamping down bonuses.
Well, I think it's not just tamping down bonuses. There are a couple of things that they can do. One is they can probably agree on a sort of code of conduct when it comes to bonuses, that bonuses should be longer term, tied to the longer term performance of the institution, perhaps with some sort of clawback, and that they should not be, let's say, guaranteed, because a guaranteed bonus is a nonsense. I think they'll probably agree on that, but it won't really mean very much.
Okay. Well, we've been hearing the recession might be ending globally. How much agreement is there on the health of the economy today?
Well, again, politicians have a vested interest in saying that everything is as good as it can possibly be, or at least getting better. I mean, economists themselves are split on this. There are some good signs, but there are a lot of people who believe, particularly in Britain, I think, that we could still face a double-dip recession.
That G20 meeting going on in London today. Andrew Hilton, director of the Center for the Study of Financial Innovation there in London. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Now let's check stocks in Europe and beyond. They're up in Europe, less than 1% so far. Asian markets were mostly higher today, with Hong Kong jumping 3%. Yesterday on Wall Street, the Dow rose 64 points to 9,345. Next week, companies that land contracts with the U.S. government are going to have to start checking the citizenship status of all the employees who work on those contracts. One group of employers, including the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, is trying to block that requirement, and we get more from John Dimsdale in Washington.
About 170,000 government contractors will have to enter their employees into a government database called E-Verify. E-Verify checks everything from citizenship to identity against information kept by the Social Security Administration and Homeland Security Department. But Randy Johnson at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce calls the system glitch-prone, costly, and onerous to use.
Remember, these could be companies the size of General Motors, IBM, you name it, who are across the entire country and have to run through this new process. It's a big, heavy lift.
The same requirements apply to subcontractors, and Johnson says that'll be tough for prime contractors to enforce. Mike Palmer with the law firm Barnes & Thornburg helps employers learn the E-Verify system. Some states require it, and some companies already use it voluntarily.
Once they do get the E-Verify process going, it's not that onerous to manage.
Congress is considering bills to require E-Verify checks for all workers. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
Vice President Biden is expected to announce today a California company that makes solar panels will get a federal loan guarantee for more than $500 million. Meanwhile, the Labor Department is paying to train people to work in these so-called green industries, which is great for the new trainees, but some older workers worry the program could put them out of a job. Youth Radio's David Dominguez filed this story.
And what that does, if it's installed this way...
This is ETI, the Electrical Training Institute of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. Here, you find a mix of older union workers called journeymen and young apprentices like 24-year-old Anthony Hernandez. Right now, Hernandez and his fellow trainees are learning how to install solar panels. Anthony used to be a non-union electrical contractor, but decided to join the union for the safety training and benefits.
We'll be brought up as apprentices with the solar and, you know, the green movement, so the journeymen will have to relearn everything. Hopefully it'll be to our advantage and, you know, be easier for us to install.
Hernandez says apprentices have an advantage over journeymen because they are new to the business and don't have to change what they know. And the numbers seem to follow that trend. The Los Angeles Workforce Investment Board reports that an estimated $20 million of stimulus funding is going to green job training in LA. And younger workers will get more training money than adults. That presents a challenge to older workers.
I'm learning not to change the future. I have to keep up with the new technology.
That's electrical journeyman Frank K. DeMarcos. He's a 10-year union veteran. He admits that jobs often boil down to the brutal bottom line of a contractor's budget.
Some contractors hire more apprentices because apprentices are cheaper than a journeyman. Some apprentices only make $20. A journeyman make over $37. I've been on jobs where they had two journeymen and they had 15 apprentices.
But some policymakers believe that more jobs will exist because of the increase in green funding. And older union workers will have a chance to retrain to be competitive. Jerome Ringo is the president of the Apollo Alliance. That's an organization devoted to creating green jobs throughout the economy.
Our goal is to make sure that there's equity, that they all benefit from the job opportunities that are created as a result of investment in green jobs.
And that investment could pay off for both Anthony and Frank. When they finish the training, they both can earn more on the job. In Los Angeles, I'm David Dominguez for Marketplace.
David's story was produced by Youth Radio. And the movie Extract opens today. Jason Bateman, Ben Affleck. It's from the guy who brought you Office Space, and this one is set at a vanilla extract factory. Writer Mike Judge got the idea for this workplace setting from the Adams Flavors Foods and Ingredients Company in his home state of Texas, and the company is thrilled. A spokesman said, "It is going to be unbelievable how many young people will be introduced to what baking extracts are. Hopefully they will go home and learn to bake some cakes and cookies from scratch." In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Friday and a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.